the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science.
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 184 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring At What Price Peace by Marshall Latham. I'm your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in the Treasure Valley. Hey everybody, I'm not sure when this is going to come out. I hope to get it out before my superhero marathon starts in February. But it'll be tight, so we'll see what happens when this comes out. It might just have to come out amid the superhero marathon, but I'll try to get it out before then. I am once again presenting one of my own stories. This was the first story that I wrote last year, one of two stories that I wrote last year. You've already heard the other one, the Butcher's Gulch story that I wrote up. They're both very small, short stories. This story was written for a contest, and I'll have a couple of special guests with me to talk about this story afterwards. Both Rish Outfield and Big Anklevich will be joining me. This is kind of a part of a crossover event between all of our different podcasts, because each of us wrote a story for this contest. And so Big has already put out his Anklecast episode featuring his story, and then I am putting this out on the Journey Into podcast, and at some point, Rish Outfield will produce his story on the Rish Outcast. So, I guess it's a cross promotion where we're each going to appear on each other's episodes, and I'm probably talking about stuff that we'll talk more about after we listen to the story. But before I get to the story, I do have a sponsor for this episode. Now, some people have asked me over the years, you know, why don't you have sponsors or ads on your podcast? And, for one thing, you have to be a popular podcast in order for sponsors to want to be a part of your podcast, to promote your podcast. And, you know, it would really have to be something I really believe in, you know, to do ads, to put ads on here and to have a sponsor. You know, they would really have to have a product that I would believe in and want to support and would, you know, honestly encourage people to use. I thought I found that. You know, I would never do like the Manscaped ads or the Blue Chew or, you know, things like that that you do hear about on other podcasts. I guess maybe Mint Mobile, I could, if they wanted to be a sponsor, if Ryan Reynolds calls me up and says he wants to support my podcast, yeah, I'd probably do ads for Mint Mobile, even though I don't use it, but I probably would start using it if they were sponsoring the podcast. You know, I thought I found a product that was really good. It was a pharmaceutical company called Dengarzaprim. And so we started talking, and I made some commitments, you know, but before I would do that, I needed to sample the product and make sure it was something good. And I did an ad for them several months back when I was going through kind of a rough patch in my life. And I did record an ad and I'm committed that I would run that ad on this podcast. Things have changed since then, but as a fulfillment of my commitment to Dengarzaprim, we'll run that here, and then we'll come back and present my story to you. Hi, I'm Marshall Latham, saying a few words about Dengarzaprim. When I reached a certain age, I found myself more tired in the afternoons, with less get up and go. But with prescription strength Dengarzaprim, I regained that youthful energy, and like that awful song, I'm back to running up that hill.
Please consult a physician before using Dengarzaprim.
Just a pill in the morning and one more at night really hits the spot.
Try Dengarzaprim and fill your energy to the brim.
Thanks, Dengarzaprim.
Wait, that's it?
As far as I know.
But my commercial had a bunch of side effects at the end.
Oh, well, mine doesn't. That's all they gave me to read. I heartily recommend that fantastic...
All right, Latham. 1 minute more, then back to your cell.
I heartily recommend the product.
Just a minute, Marshall. Are you in jail?
No.
Then what was that?
I'm in visitation. It's that room with all the booths and telephones with the bulletproof glass between them.
You're recording from jail?
Well, prison, technically.
But why? What happened?
I don't really remember. Apparently, I attacked and killed a couple family members, then a neighbor.
Whoa! Really?
Well, that's what they tell me. I don't have any memory of it.
When did this happen?
A month ago? It might have been two. My memory's spotty.
Was this before or after you started using Dengarzaprim?
Try Dengarzaprim and fill your energy to the brim.
I'm really not sure. Might have been after. Yeah, it would have been right after, I think.
Well, Marshall, it seems clear to me that you had some kind of violent episode after using this new drug.
Funny. My lawyer said the exact same thing in court. It's how I was able to avoid the death penalty in a state like Idaho.
There is no correlation between the crimes of Mr. Latham and the use of Dengarzaprim.
Thanks, Dengarzaprim.
No! I think there's a big correlation here. I know Marshall. He'd never kill anybody of his own free will. At least, not before taking that drug.
That's true. Before Dengarzaprim, I wouldn't have had the energy to crush my neighbor's skull like that. Not with my bare hands.
Jeez Louise! Really? With your bare hands?
Apparently, they found my wedding ring lodged in his skull.
Oh, this is terrible.
I got it back.
I don't believe this. You really shouldn't be endorsing their product.
It's a little late now. Visiting hours are over.
I feel really bad, man. I had no idea.
Well, I feel the same way. I didn't take the news well, and I really liked that mailman.
What did you do to the... Never mind.
All right, Latham, hang up and head back to your cell.
Hey guys, I gotta go.
Please, Latham, let's go peacefully. Or you can stay. Just don't kill me like you did those other gods.
Just 1 second, Hank. Thanks, Dengarzaprim.
Ask your phrenologist if Dengarzaprim is right for you.
Yeah, so there you go. There's my sponsor, or they were my sponsor. They're not my sponsor anymore. But there's the ad that I agreed to run for Dengarzaprim. I was going through a rough patch when I did all that, but with family and friends, I was able to get through that, and I'm back here podcasting, and. Now I'd like to share my story with you. So please come with me and let's journey into the worried world of a woman named Jennifer. At What Price Peace by Marshall Latham. Jennifer opened the box she had received from her recently deceased Uncle Freddy. She had been waiting for a quiet moment to open it. A phone vibrated nearby. She glanced at hers, but it was silent and dark. The buzz came from Jake's room above the office. Jake, her 19-year-old son, was now going on 4 weeks of being unemployed. He spent all day upstairs playing online games. On cue, he started barking indistinguishable commands through his headset, which were muffled by the floorboards and ceiling. Jennifer sighed. She was tired of the noise from upstairs all day. Not loud, but dull and constant. This used to be her time for peace and quiet. Jennifer put in earphones, which played pleasant music. She unraveled a small jewelry box from the bubble wrap and opened it to display a small piece of paper. Under the paper was a gold chain and a pendant of an old-fashioned stone well. Jennifer unfolded the note.
"My little ladybug, I wanted you to have this. It was a special gift from my mother, your grandma Montino. But I never felt worthy of it. She told me it was a special charm from the old country, and that one wish will be granted to its bearer. You are the wisest woman I know. I trust you will bear it well. Love, Freddy."
Such a sweet man,
Jennifer thought. Through the office window, Jennifer spied her neighbor, Gail, coming over from across the street. Jennifer slipped the chain and pendant around her neck and went to greet her at the front door.
"Hi, Gail."
"Hello, Jennifer. I just wanted to let you know."
Gail's words were drowned out by a small airplane flying overhead. The pleasures of living near a municipal airport.
"Can you please repeat that?"
asked Jennifer.
"The new HOA president and I did a walkthrough, and your basketball hoop is encroaching on the sidewalk, and we're going to have to move."
Jennifer's dog started barking. It wanted out.
"Thanks, Gail,"
she said, cutting off the neighbor.
"We'll take care of it. I've got to go."
Jennifer closed the front door and then let the dog out the back. The dog just ran to the fence and barked more vigorously. She looked at the time. 2:42. The boys will be coming home soon. She turned on the radio and got out some meat to thaw for dinner.
"The U.S. and its allies believe the Russians could mount a massive offensive once the spring comes. That's why the Ukrainians are getting their forces ready, even as they're already fighting the Russians on several fronts."
Jennifer turned it off quickly. She sat on the couch and closed her eyes, relishing the last few minutes of calm. Before long, Jackson and Jalen crashed through the front door and spoke over one another in a tumult.
"Mom, it was so hilarious.
We were having a burping contest,
and the bus driver told us to be quiet.
Then he let out the loudest belch ever.
It was epic."
Jennifer couldn't help giggling.
"That's pretty funny. Okay, boys, you can go play video games for 30 minutes, and then it's homework time."
"I get to play Mario."
"Then I'm Kirby."
The boys raced to the back room.
"Close the door."
The door slammed in response. Jennifer's phone chirped. It was her husband, Jacob, sending a recorded voice text. He'd been sending those lately instead of regular texts.
"Hey, honey. It's looking like a late day again. I should be home at 8 or 8:30. We're so close to finishing this project. I'll call on my way home. Love ya. Bye."
"This project will just lead to the next project,"
Jennifer thought. She had missed an earlier text from Helen at church, asking if she was still making dinner for the Broughtons down the street. Jennifer sighed. She'd forgotten. She got out more meat to double the meal and started gathering more ingredients. Julia, her sophomore daughter, came home from school.
"Mom, I need a poster for class tomorrow,"
she announced. The dog started barking and scratching at the back door.
"Tomorrow? Julia, I just went to the store this morning. You should have told me earlier."
"I didn't know we needed it."
"Your teacher didn't say anything until today?"
"Well, she mentioned something about it last week, but didn't give a date or anything."
"You should have told me."
Jackson exploded from the game room.
"Mom, Jalen is cheating."
obnoxious, happy electronic music poured from the open door. Another low-flying plane droned overhead. Jalen emerged.
No, I'm not. He's just a sore loser.
Be quiet,
Julia demanded.
Mom and I are talking.
Jennifer's phone rang.
Mom!
Jennifer slammed her phone down in exasperation.
That's it. Can't I just get some peace around here? I wish everything would be quiet. Is that too much to ask?
The shocked siblings simply stared at her. Jennifer let out her breath slowly and closed her eyes.
I'm sorry. It's been a long day, but I shouldn't take it out on you.
She expected them to say, "That's okay," or maybe even a return apology. When she looked up, her children all wore panicked expressions. They moved their mouths, but no sound came out. Jennifer started to get angry again. How dare they mock her? Then she noticed the dog was also quiet. The game music had stopped. No airplane propellers. A car silently passed by the front window. She stomped her foot on the floor. No sound. Then her phone flashed. It was an actual text from Jacob. "Are you and the kids okay?" the text read. "Something weird is happening. I thought I went deaf, but it's not just me, it's everything."
Everything? How?
Then it hit her.
Uncle Freddy's gift.
She clasped the well pendant hanging from her neck.
"Peace and quiet,"
she muttered. Julia touched her arm. Four children had come into the kitchen. Jake had come downstairs, expressing confusion and annoyance. Jackson and Jalen were crying. They looked terrified.
"I'm sorry,"
Jennifer said slowly. Julia mouthed words silently. Jennifer thought she said, "For what?"
"Wait a minute. Can you hear me?"
Julia and Jake nodded affirmatively.
"But I can't hear you or anything else."
"It's everything," Jacob's text had said. Jennifer fell to her knees and sobbed.
"Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. Oh."
The cast of characters for this story, in order of appearance, are Bria Burton as Jennifer, Rish Outfield as Uncle Freddy, Kelly Latham as Gail, Rish Outfield's nephew, unnamed, played Jackson, Big Anklevich's son, Little, played Jalen. Big Anklevich himself played Jacob. Nicole Latham played Julia. And I, lovable Viril Marshall, was the narrator.
So there you go. There is "At What Price Peace," written by me. And as this is the crossover event of 2023, I have with me in the studio, well, maybe not in the studio, but on the phone with me are Big Anklevich and Rish Outfield.
Hello.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks, man. Well,
thank you for inviting us.
At what price, peace, Mr. Spock? At what price?
This is the second installment here of the Wish trilogy of stories that we have. We explained on the Ankle Cast kind of the premise of how these stories came about, and it was a contest that Rish found at his writer's conference where we were given the prompt of "Be careful what you wish for," and were told to write a story for 1,000 words or less with that premise for the contest. And for some reason, we all wrote a story and entered it in, and this is my entry. I don't know. Sometimes I think I should have gone a different route, but I liked the idea of, you know, this woman that was surrounded by chaos all the time, you know, with her kids and husband and all that kind of stuff. And then in a moment of anger and frustration, wishes for something she regrets. So that's where I was going with it. Kind of the genie in the bottle thing, where you get 3 wishes, but you got to be careful. But no genie in this story. So.
No, it was Uncle Freddy, essentially.
Yes.
There's no delicate way of putting this, Marshall, so I'm just going to say it. You tend to write less than Big and I do.
Yes.
Was the 1,000 words as limiting for you as it was for us?
Probably not. I mean, I could have written a lot more on this story. I could have developed it more and shown more of the ramifications of things, but I kind of had the size of the story in mind when I was writing it. So I'm like, well, I can't, you know, I have to make this brief. The conversations have to be quick. I just have to set the stage for, you know, why she wishes for this thing and then show some of the ramifications of that. So I would have liked to have more room to write the story, but I tried to, and I did have to cut it down, of course, but.
It sounds like that's the best way to go. To have a small idea or an idea that is already constricted or compact as you start to write so that you don't end up with a 4,000 word story that you have to butcher to get to 1,000 words. There's this rumor that Avatar 3, have you guys heard this, is currently about 9 hours long. I don't know if either of you have heard that rumor before. I find it really, really hard to believe. Because even if there are like extended scenes on Pandora of those characters interacting with the wildlife and stuff that go on for a half an hour, we're still talking about like a 300 or 400 page screenplay. And nobody would greenlight a 300 page screenplay. Do you know what I mean? It's like, how could Avatar 3 be 9 hours long? I don't understand how that could be possible. And if it's a real story, then why wouldn't Disney just say, well, Avatar 3 is now Avatar 3 and 4?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, are those the same people that are still saying that it's a bomb?
No. They have finally admitted that it is successful and that it has paid for itself and it's in the black now. But the point I was trying to make is you have to be responsible when you have a time limit or a word limit to pull your punches a little bit on how big the story is going to be. And I've made that mistake a bunch of times. Not a Avatar 3 type mistake, but times where it's just like, it's heartbreaking to cut the story down to 2,000 words or 1,000 words.
Or 100 words.
Where the story is just a shred, a fragment of what it once was. And so I think your idea of, no, this is, even before I write it, it has to be smaller than that. It has to be, nope, we can't show that. It's just going to be these scenes. I think that's the best way to go. And it's the least painful way.
Yeah, I want to know, did you have a hard time? Because, I mean, mine and yours, and I'm sure Rish's too, although I haven't read it yet, so I can't say.
And you never will.
You know, they're going to be genre stories. They have some kind of fantastical element to them. And it's kind of baked into the pie with the be careful what you wish for kind of a premise. And I suppose also because it came from a contest for a writer's conference that is all about genre fiction. So, of course, it's going to be that. But that means that you've got to have something you know, unusual, wild as your inciting incident. You got to have, in my story, it was time travel. In your story, there's a wish that gets granted. And we start off with the little, you know, she looks at it, reads a little paragraph, and then she just says, "What a sweet man." She didn't say, "What the crap? A wish? Come on, man. I didn't know he was crazy." Was that hard for you to do, to just go with it? Or did you feel like you needed to put in more? Or,
well, I felt like the note, the letter that he wrote her should have been more. I wanted there to be more meat there and explain, you know, where this came from. I just had to go bare bones, you know, and put in words like old, from the old country, to try to, you know, suggest something like gypsies or something right. Like that, you know. And then, you know, then she gets distracted by her nosy neighbor from the HOA. So she doesn't have time to think about it or get into it, kind of thing. But yeah, there was, and then at the end, I wanted there to be more evident what was going on, that nobody had a voice. There was no sound on the earth, kind of thing. Like maybe she tried to turn on the TV and it was on, but there was no noise or something. So I don't like the ending. I don't think it conveys what I wanted it.
What did you want it to convey?
You know, just like a Twilight Zone ending where, you know, the entire world is now silent, you know, but... Like I was saying, I would have had her written like a Rod Serling little, "Jennifer didn't realize the effects of her of her wish upon the whole world," kind of thing. So I just had to try to convey it with small little things. But
all she wanted was a little bit of quiet. But making that wish thrust her into the Twilight Zone.
See, I feel like that is conveyed. It really feels like a Twilight Zone episode to me. I mean, maybe you can have something on the television. But well, you do. You're showing that it's everywhere. It's not just her family that is affected. And you know, nature is also affected. I think you did convey the horror that you were aiming at. I mean, but although maybe you wanted it to be even worse... and you always can. You can rewrite this sucker. You can double the length if you want to, like I did for mine. Or you can try and write another story. Be careful what you wish for in the future. That sentence, "be careful what you wish for," could encompass 1,000 stories. We could do a collection that's, you know, 900 pages sure. long. Just of "be careful what you wish for" stories, and have room for a second volume. The fact that our three stories are so different tonally, and the way that the wishes are granted are different in all three, shows that I wish that we knew what other stories were sent into that contest, and what stories won and what stories lost, because it would be neat to be able to read like another half dozen or another dozen stories that were sent in with the same premise, with 1,000 words.
Yeah.
My fear is that we'll never find out if we would have won or lost.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But we're making use of the three stories that we wrote. And I hope that people really like that. And you know, if people... do like it and say, "Oh gosh, I wish I had known about the contest. I would have entered it too." Maybe we can come back in a year or two and do another "Be Careful What You Wish For." Let's keep that in mind if you guys are enjoying this.
Yeah, we could do a contest where you actually do find out if you win at the end.
Yeah. Well, and we can invite other people to join in too.
Yeah. So were you tempted... you know, once we decided we were going to do this event, to flesh yours out at all, Marshall, or did you just leave it completely as is and you're like, "Eh, it's fine"?
I did go through it and do another edit on it, and let's see, so it's now 1,064 words long.
So, ooh. Wow. You're getting greedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wanted to keep it, you know, tight to stay within the spirit of it, but.
Just wait till we get to Rish's next time.
Yeah. But let me say this to you, Marshall, though. You could write a novel with this premise. And the first two or three chapters are just showing the world that this woman lives in. And then the inciting incident happens at the end of chapter three. And the rest of the novel is, how does it affect the world? That right. Everything is silent now, that there is no sound. And is it possible for her to fix it? What was the mechanism of this wish being granted? And can you reverse it? Can you, you know, if a wish is granted, can it be ungranted? You could write a novel with this premise, and I think it would be very interesting. And it would be fun to just sit down and talk about, like, how the world is harmed, damaged, brought to its knees by the fact that there is no longer any audio communication. There's no longer any music. There's no longer
dog barking,
the radio, obviously, or telephones.
Yeah, that's I kind of wanted to hint at that in like an ending omniscient paragraph kind of thing, you know, because maybe this brings not just peace for her, but maybe peace to the earth, you know, we stop fighting because we can't communicate or something like that. But
nah, we shoot our guns more because it doesn't hurt our ears.
And I guess, yeah, there could be like an inscription on the bottom of the pendant or something that says something about reversing the spell or something, or the wish.
But it's written in language from the old country, and so nobody knows what it says. She has to
travel to the old country.
Yep. Yeah. And then she has to find somebody who can translate it, but they can't speak. So they write it. And that doesn't help either, because it's still in the wrong language. And then she just puts it in Google Translate, and it comes out as gobbledygook. And she's like, still doesn't work.
Well, see, or I guess you could say that the teenagers would thrive because they're used to just texting anyway. So,
yeah, they don't ever use their voice to begin with.
How would this affect deaf people, guys? If there's somebody that is already lived their life and overcome this handicap, suddenly they have a huge advantage over everybody else. They become the one-sided person in a blind community, essentially.
Yeah, the one-eyed man in the land of the blind.
I find that interesting too. You know, we would depend on the hearing impaired to help us, to teach us how do you go about your life? How can you communicate? I find your idea interesting, but I feel like there's way more you could tell if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't think that we need to call it Ian syndrome anymore, Mr. Outfield. I'm pretty sure it's Rish Outfield syndrome.
Well, I didn't say I wanted the story to begin where it ended.
Oh, right.
What I said...
Well, there is no
what
ending.
What I said
that's
is I wanted a sequel.
Yep. Some more chapters.
So I have a question for you about the title. I initially just titled it What Price Peace? And my wife thought that was terrible. She said, you need to come up with a better title. That's terrible. I don't even understand what you're trying to say there. So then I said, well, what if I added At What Price Peace? She goes, oh, that makes more sense. So huh. I did add the at in the title, but do you think it would have been fine if I would have just said What Price Peace? Or is that nonsensical?
It sounds old-fashioned, but it totally makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think it would have been all right, but I think your wife's suggestion did improve it a little bit. Is it a quote from something? Because I want to say that it is.
There is, it's not at what price peace, it's at what price glory or something like that. I think there's an old movie with that title. Or not the at, just what price glory or something like that.
Or maybe and it's peace sells, but who's buying, something like that.
Maybe. I think I ran a story that somebody else wrote on my podcast years ago called What Price Convenience or something like that. I don't know. It just came to my head. Sounded like a Twilight Zone title. So
it does sound like a Twilight Zone title. It would be fun to come up with the perfect Serling narration for the end. A lot of times he would be there to remind the audience that this was an allegory that they could apply to their own life. But sometimes he would be there just to rub it in, just to make you feel worse.
She didn't get what she wanted. Ha ha. Take that, Jennifer.
My favorite episode of Star Trek, the original series, is Amok Time. And at the end of that episode, Spock says, wanting something and getting it are very different. It is not logical, but it is the truth. So, that's the episode where Spock's fiance forces Spock to fight Captain Kirk to the death because she no longer wants Spock. And she's found some new Vulcan dude to shack up with. Anyway, Spock at the end of that episode says to the guy, you know, you can have her, but I warn you, wanting something and having it are two very different things. It is not logical, but it is the truth. And it's kind of like a be careful what you wish for thing at the end. Where he says, you know,
she's nuts.
She was willing to do this to me to break off our engagement. So have a good time together kind of thing is basically what Spock is saying. And that's something that Serling would remind us is that wanting something and getting it are two different things. A lesson that can be learned on planet Vulcan or in the Twilight Zone.
I found a book called What Price Peace? But it was published, it says by Ruth Irvine, published in October of 2018.
Oh, really?
That's not old. So you both must be... Yeah, you boast. That's why you can't copyright a title, because it's just too dang easy. But yeah.
Did you search for What Price Glory?
I have not. I just searched What Price Peace. There's another thing that's on here called What Price Peace. And then it says dash JSTOR, which. And then in that case, it has an article. From something. Looks like it's from a magazine called Advocate of Peace Through Justice. Mm. But it says it was from November of 1930. And it's called What Price Peace? I don't know if that was already just a thing that was in the... and I don't know what JSTOR stands for, dang it. I want to know. It's making me mad.
So What Price Glory was a 1952 movie with James Cagney. And it's in Technicolor.
Ooh. It's in Technicolor, see?
Anyways.
I'm surprised you guys aren't mad at me for the spelling of Jackson.
J-A-X-E-N.
I can't be mad at you because I've used that same name before.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I can't remember in what. I want to say it was from the one, the Christmas story I did about Santa Claus. Called Dear Santa, I believe was the name of it.
Dear Santa.
And yes, I think you do that every time I say the name of the title, so thank you. Even though you're actually singing, Hey Santa, Hey Santa. But yeah, what was it, Jackson and Jalen, right?
Yeah, Jackson and Jalen. And there's Jennifer and Jacob and Jake and Julie. For all the names of the family.
Oh, you're a monster. What was the name of the grandma that you had me say? Was it Montanu? Montanu?
Yeah. Montanu, I think is how you say that.
What? Where did that come from?
That's a Roma surname that means mountain.
Ah, okay.
Just to give it that air that, hey, maybe this wish might actually come true kind of a thing.
Right.
Well, Marshall, what did you want people to feel at the end of the story?
Just kind of like, oh, crap.
Okay, well, I think you accomplished it then. Like I said, it does feel like a Twilight Zone, and a lot of those Twilight Zone endings were like a slap to the face. It was, you know, we live in a world that is so accustomed to everything being all right at the end of your 30 minutes. And for most of those episodes, things were not all right. And so, yeah, it feels like a very short Twilight Zone episode.
Now, how many kids do you have, Marshall?
I have 4 kids.
Because, I don't know, for some reason, and I come from a very large family, so this felt maybe more like my... I was just wondering if this is autobiographical for you in any way? Is this a wish fulfillment of some sort? Have you ever been in our main character's position where you're just like, oh my gosh, can there just be quiet for just a second?
I kind of based it off my wife a little bit because at the time, my oldest son was unemployed and up in his room playing online games all the time. And she goes, I'm used to having peace and quiet at home. And he's just here all
and hollering out loud while he plays his games. I know exactly how that was.
Yeah.
I had that same son.
So that's kind of where I started with it. I was like, you know, just a housewife that would love peace and quiet, but only gets it for brief moments. My wife also told me I should have added 2 dogs in there instead of just 1 dog, because we have 2 dogs. So.
Yeah, dogs can be noisy. It's one of those things that you never know about.
And we do live close to a small airport, so we do have airplanes going overhead all the time, and a train not too far away from us. So some of that is autobiographical, I guess.
Is that something that you sometimes wish for, is peace at home, or are you fine with the calamities and stuff? Because like our character, Jennifer, you know, like the kids come in and they're telling their story about their burp contest, and then the bus driver told them not to burp, and then they burped the loudest one ever. And she laughs and thinks, oh, that is pretty funny. So, you know, she doesn't hate it. I think maybe she's just overwhelmed at that particular time or something like that. It's not a thing that bothers her.
Yeah, it was the video game music that did it.
Well, I can understand that. Was it 8-bit music?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah,
I made it really generic at first, you know, what they would play, and I thought, oh, I'll probably I'll throw Mario in there just so that people know it's a modern story.
My son likes video game music, and he will just put it on to listen to sometimes when he's doing other things.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's a thing that the younger generation does fairly frequently these days. I was watching a video on YouTube by Rish's favorite creator, Rick Beato, and he was talking about that, just about how like kids don't listen to radio anymore. I mean, I guess they might listen to Spotify or something like that, but you know, they don't hear a lot of stuff,
yeah.
But where they hear most of their their music from is video games. And a lot of bands will try and get their music put onto video games. You know, like, I guess it's playing in the background of like Grand Theft Auto or whatever while you're driving around and shooting people and stuff.
Wow.
That's like where kids get introduced to music much more these days, which seems just, I don't know, kind of crazy to me. I think I managed to keep most of my kids from being that way. But I don't know about this youngest one. We'll have to see. He'll just put on Zelda, like the music from the Zelda. Just listen to it.
I would recognize Zelda music. Well, at least the old one.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the old one. I don't know if it's similar or anything. But one time I caught him watching a YouTube video where they were going through songs from video games. And it was supposed to be like a quiz thing. Like, what is this one from? And came on. He's like, oh, come on. That's so easy. Jeez. That's Breath of the Wild. Thought, huh. I mean, maybe I would have been that way when I was 10 years old, I guess. Except for it would have been like, oh my gosh, that's like Howard Jones. Things can only get better. Gosh, please. Why don't you try harder? Everybody knows that song. Oh, that's Orange Juice Jones singing I Saw You Walking in the Rain. Everybody knows that song. Come on, tell me I stumped you with that one.
Yeah, well, I don't recognize that
one. I don't
that
know
all.
That one.
Yep, sometime you can look it up and listen to it. It's kind of a dumb song. But I do remember it from when I was a kid. I listened to the radio a lot.
Well, I'm interested to see what Rish came up with, because we had science fiction with your story and kind of fantasy with mine, so I'm interested to see what Rish came up with.
Well, I hope you like crap, because mine's coming up next.
That's the genre? Crap?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you're going back to your scatological stories.
That's right, you got a lot of entries in the genre of crap.
Yeah, this is fun. Thanks for coming on the show and talking about my story.
No problem. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
And yeah, we'll be back sometime soon. Probably not till March, because I have the a superhero marathon going on in February that I won't have a lot of time to get stuff on.
But you can hear Rish's story over on his podcast. And
if you can go over to the Anklecast.
Yeah, if you missed the original entry in this crossover event of the century, you can find it on the Anklecast. Check that out and enjoy if you can.
How do you find the Anklecast?
I don't know. I like search in your thing where you get podcasts from. I don't know. Like, what do they call it now? I would say iTunes, but that's not even a thing anymore. That's how old I am.
Your podcatcher.
Yeah. I think they call them Apple Podcasts now, but I think it's also like in Google and maybe Spotify. Is that you didn't do podcasts.
Stitcher, Spotify. Yeah.
And if you have a thing that it doesn't have it, like, let me know, because, you know, I started the podcast up, I don't know, 10 years ago or something, and things have changed since then, but I haven't really done anything to keep up with the time, so it's probably missing from wherever it should be. I don't know. What was that one called? Stitcher?
Podcast Pickle.
But Stitcher is still a thing, right?
Stitcher's still out there, yeah.
Anyways, yeah, whatever you listen to that if I don't have it, let me know. And any, you know, Marshall might need that info as well, or Rish Outfield. And we'll do our best to get it on there.
Let's get it on there.
Oh, see, I was going Bangagong, get it on.
Oh, hey, that works.
Well, those of you still on this journey with us, thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed this. If you would like to comment on this episode or any episode or have any comments or suggestions, you can contact the podcast by going to journeyintopodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach me on Facebook or Twitter. Just look for Journey Into. If you would like to support this podcast with your cold, hard cash, or I guess it would be your cold electron cash, head on over to patreon.com/journeyinto and take a look at what I have there. I offer early and extra audio over there. Very soon, starting February 1st, I will be running a daily superhero marathon. So also check that out. But yeah, once again, thanks to Big and Rish for coming on the podcast. And until next time, kids, stay safe out there and journey on.
The Journey Into podcast is produced under Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives License, which means that you are encouraged to share this podcast with as many people as you would like. But please don't change it or sell it, and let people know where you got it from. On cue, he started barking indistinguishable commands through his headset.
Let me make sure on Muntinu.
If you want to share your opinion, please leave comments.
Shut up. Oh, you crotch. I just want to know how to pronounce. I have to sit through an ad.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tapping this channel. Well, in this video, I will show you how to pronounce this word.
What?
The word you see is sounds like Muntinu. Muntinu.
All right.
Mom, it was so hilarious.
The brother says, we were having a burping contest.
And the bus driver told us to be quiet.
And then he let out the loudest belch ever.
It was epic.
I get to play Mario.
Then I'm Kirby. Mom, Jalen is cheating. Mom. No.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Mom, it was so hilarious.
Mom, it was so hilarious.
We were having a burping contest.
We were having a burping contest.
And the bus driver told us to be quiet.
The bus driver told us to be quiet.
Let's do this one a little bit. The bus driver went a little bit different. So, no, hold on. Don't, because that is sitting on top of that too. So it'll hear that noise. And the bus driver told us to be quiet.
And the bus driver told us to be quiet.
Then he let out the loudest belch ever! It was epic! I get to play Mario! Then I'm Kirby! Smash Bros. Mom, Jalen's cheating. Actually, it's Jalen is cheating. Let's do it again. Mom, Jalen is cheating. No, I'm not. He's just a sore loser. Okay, now you just gotta do a whine where you're going, Mom.
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 Okay. I don't know what will work for the wines, but hopefully those. All right, Marshall, there you go. Enjoy.
Can I read the parts of Julia, or of Jennifer?
Sure.
Okay. Julia, her sophomore daughter, came home from school.
Mom, I need a poster
Go ahead.
Mom, I need a poster for class tomorrow.
The dog started barking and scratching at the back door. Tomorrow? Julia, I went to the store this morning. You should have told me earlier.
I didn't know we needed it.
Your teacher didn't say anything until today?
Well, she mentioned something about it last week, but didn't give a date or anything.
You should have... Hold on, then the boys come out. Mom, Jalen is cheating. No, I'm not. He's just a sore loser.
Be quiet. Mom and I are talking.
Say that again.
Be quiet.
Okay. Because I think I was still being a little kid. And then here, all of the kids say, Mom. So I'll just record you, and then I'm getting other recordings.
Okay. Mom.
A little more whiny.
Be whiny.
Just Mom.
Mom.
There you go. Perfect. Okay. A number one. You get an A on that. Recording.
Okay, me too. That means me too.
All right, so I'll just start off. The story just ran. I'll go ahead and...
And future conscience, what did she say?
She didn't like the story at all.
Hey, Marsh, you...
Limited.
You hung up. But I'm still recording.
We lost everybody.
I got hung up on.
Dang it.
I just texted you. I guess you're editing this, so you'll hear that. You'll hear me curse you.
It's kind of helpless until you call back.
Huh. I don't know what happened there.
Call Marshall Latham. Hey, hello. So did you lose Rish too then?
I did. I don't know what happened. I wasn't even near the phone. Okay. So.
Well, let me see if I can add him in.
Okay.
Big must not have hung up, because surely you would have called back by now.
Hey there. Call has resumed, it says.
That rat bastard Marshall Latham just hung up on us. Can you believe that shit, Rish?
I'm surprised that he would. How long...
You know, I don't even have that... I used to have that headset that had a button on it that would hang up, and I'd accidentally hit that every once in a while. I don't even have that anymore, so I don't know what happened on this call.
But... How long did it take before you realized...
Pretty quick, it beeped.
Yeah, mine did too. Good. Thought, huh? I mean, maybe I would have been that way when I was 10 years old. I guess, except for it would have been like, oh my gosh, that's like Howard Johnson. Things can only get better. Please, why don't you try harder? Everybody knows that song.
Howard Johnson.
Oh, you're right. Let me say that again so I don't sound like an idiot, can I?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Howard Jones. Things can only get better. Gosh. Everybody knows that.
Before we go, Marshall, Big's episode was had a sponsor. Do you have a sponsor on your show?
I do. It's Dengarzepan. Yeah, how am I going to do that before or after?
Well, it's up to you. I was just setting it up in case you wanted to throw it in.
Did you see how I put mine in there where I made it as though it was actually live part of the show?
Yeah. You had to leave quickly to play
of course, the you would be from have to be like, "Oh yes, and we've been broadcasting from prison." I don't know if you want to do something like that or if you just want to toss to it. But Now is the time on Sprockets in which we dance. Okay, I am rolling.